Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy's on the inside. Green Bay football insider Paul Immig is on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And coming up this week, there's going to be a couple of appearances. I know Rami Makhlouf from our local station. And then, Joe, you're going to be at Stenny's.
Wednesday night at Stenny's,
7 to 9. Get out. Hope you do. Man, think of me when you're down there, because I'm going to be dying. Knowing that you're down there grubbing on the wings and the Bill Michaels cheese bread, and I'm not. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. And they are getting you registered for the House Vote of Representatives, which this Saturday sets sail on Lake Geneva. And you could be one of the lucky people to win some tickets. So get out there, 7 to 9 this Saturday, or 7 to 9 this Wednesday. And then I believe it's the same time on Thursday night at the Loaded Slate is going to be another appearance for that. So all ready for that with Bud Light. Raise one to right now, people. Raise one to right now. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our Green and Gold insider, Paul Immig. And Paul, how you doing today?
Bill, doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. When you looked at this game on Friday night, I mean, there's some good, there's some bad, there's some ugly. I get it. But what did you take away from that game?
I mean, there's a list of talking points, certainly, that I'm sure we'll go through. But there's been one sticking point for me that I'm hoping you and I can solve as a team here, Bill. How come the play of the night, which, in my opinion, was Micah Hyde's goal line interception of RG3. I feel like no one's talked about it. Like, I've read a bunch of stuff. I've listened to different talk shows here. And it seems like the play that hasn't gotten mentioned and the player who hasn't gotten mentioned is Micah Hyde. It's interesting because, you know, this guy is going into – this is his contract year as well. We deservedly talk about the offensive line free agents coming up. We deservedly talk about Eddie Lacy and his contract. And Mike Gannon has already got his. But I found it interesting that Micah Hyde is so forgotten. And Bill, I, to reverse it and throw a question on you, I'm trying to put my finger on why Micah Hyde is so like, yeah, okay, Micah Hyde, nah, you know, whatever. And I kind of feel like that's how he is. So I thought he really stood out. And maybe we soon should be talking about him as a core future long-term member of the Packers. But I don't know if you have an opinion on why Micah Hyde gets forgotten in a lot of ways.
You know what? Micah Hyde, between him and HaHa Clinton Dix and some of the guys in that secondary, we just kind of at this point take it for granted because they've played pretty much really well. I mean, Micah Hyde as a safety I thought was a brilliant move because he clearly didn't have that breakaway speed to be able to cover guys on straight go patterns, okay? So I thought he was pretty good. But I think part of the reason the Micah Hyde interception on the goal line goes so unnoticed is because it was a terrible throw by RG3.
True. I mean, how many Packers defensive players make that? Here's what I'm thinking.
Not many. I'll give you that because he had to make a diving Superman-esque style catch to be able to bring that thing in.
And don't you think if Ladarius Gunter made that interception that we would all be freaking out about how good Ladarius Gunter is? Like,
right.
It's kind of interesting. I don't, maybe that's a small thing for me to worry about, and that's a whatever. But I thought Micah Hyde's performance was really good. I thought even though it was only four carries, I thought the early returns on Eddie Lacy looking good was a positive. You know, I'm trying to think of the guys who really matter because we can talk about Joe Callahan if you want, but let's face it, Joe Callahan is the Packers don't want him stepping on the field in a regular season game this year. So what he did is great. I thought it was encouraging, but we're talking about a number three guy competing for a practice squad spot. Beyond them, Jared Aberderis, good performance. Justin Perillo. I mean, this guy, he just catches whatever comes his way. I think if he was a bubble guy, it's only one preseason game, but he certainly has overtaken for sure, I would think, the Kennard-Backman battle for the number three tight end spot. So I thought Perillo really stood out. And Carl Bradford, finally,
right,
still, standing out at a good game at inside linebacker. And I thought Winston Moss's comments yesterday about the light finally turning on for Bradford was quite revealing to see a coach like Winston Moss, who is as difficult of a guy to interview of any guy I've ever interviewed. Winston Moss, the linebackers coach, doesn't usually give you anything to really to really write about it or talk about it. And I think that comment about Bradford really stood out. So I thought those were a couple, just to hit on a couple quick guys, I thought those were some stand-up performers.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that in the sense that I Bradford was right place, right time. And when he hit a couple of guys, you could feel it up in the press box. And I tweeted it at the time. I thought, okay, maybe he's playing and now hitting like he knows his job is on the line. Because this is it for him, wouldn't you say?
This is absolutely it. If he doesn't make the team this year, I mean, maybe he'll get a chance with another team here or there. I mean, he was a fourth-round pick only 2 years ago. I mean, you look at fourth-round picks and the track record of success Ted Thompson has had, Mike Daniels, Josh Sitton, T.J. Lang, to name a few. Ted Thompson hits on the fourth round, and 2 years into Carl Bradford's career has obviously been a huge miss. But, hey, there is the great thing for Carl Bradford and for Joe Thomas, who played pretty well on Friday night, is that there are certainly opportunities at inside linebacker if you can put some good performances together. And so maybe we're talking about a couple of bubble guys, Perillo, Bradford, you know, maybe tentatively currently sitting on the top of the 53-man roster as guys who sneak from bubble to making the team. Again, very early to say that, but they certainly put a good foot forward.
So on the bad side, what do you do with Tim Mastay?
Well, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I don't think Peter Mortel is the answer. I don't, you know, I mean, again, it's a very good story. It's nice that a kid from Green Bay is getting a shot, and he punted better than Mastay did on Friday night. But, you know, you don't want to draft a punter, really.
Right.
But then you're kind of trying to find somebody out there who you think you can develop and groom. But, you know, whether it's Mastay, whether it's Mortel, I think the Packers are unfortunately sitting up there. They're being realistic. They're looking at this and saying, oh, great, our punting game is once again going to be among the worst in the league. And I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise. You can't really give your gunners a chance to do anything. You can't really give anybody a chance to do anything if you're talking about 3.2 hang times traveling 38 yards. You're doomed. You're pretty much only getting 20 yards or 25 yards back because a lot of those balls are going to get returned for 10 to 15 yards. I don't know, Bill. I don't know what the answer is other than searching long and hard over the next 12 months to not have this be another situation a year from now, because I think what it is right now is it is what it is. It's Mastay or it's Mortel. It's probably, if you were to have to put percentages on it, it's probably 95% chance that it's still Mastay's job right now if the regular season started tomorrow. And that's a tough thing to swallow right now because he is struggling again.
The Tim Mastay, I thought it was real telling when he needed a big booming punt out of the end zone. Hits a low line drive that allows it. It went like 35 yards, 20, 25 yard return, 10 yard penalty tacked on. It was basically negated. It was just terrible. And
Yeah. That's
when you needed him to come up big, and he just didn't have it in him. So that bothered me probably more so than anything.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not like, you know, the inside linebacker position where it's like, well, if Carl Bradford doesn't get the job done, there's Joe Thomas. If it's not Joe Thomas, at least they have Barrington. At least they have Jake Ryan. At least you don't have that at punter. You know, just like the Packers didn't have that when they were trying to test out guys to compete against Mason Crosby 3 years ago. It was like, well, it was Tavecchio. Okay, then it was Zachary Ramirez. But fortunately for the Packers, Crosby didn't have to do anything. Like, he solved it himself, whether it was because of the competition or otherwise. And now Crosby looks phenomenal. You know, like hitting 54-yard field goals like they're nothing. And I know they're hoping and crossing their fingers that Mastay can have the same career bounce back, but, you know, this is sort of that moment where, you know, Crosby's low point, if you remember, Bill, was that family night 3 years ago.
Right.
Where he went like 2 for 8 or something. And I remember talking to him in the hallway that night, and it was just like, boy, is this the end of his line? Is this it? And now he's, on a huge contract for multi-million dollars per year, and he's, you know, kicking incredibly well, and I don't know what the answer is to Mastay other than hoping Mastay can do what Crosby did 3 years ago and just find something in himself to turn it around. But, you know, obviously that moment hasn't quite hit yet.
How much would you play Aaron Rodgers coming up in this next ballgame?
A drive or two. I certainly wouldn't want to sit him out again. I think you want to get him out on the Lambeau Field, not for the fan experience necessarily, but just because, again, you can do it unorthodox. You know, you can take a different route than the traditional thinking of how much do you play your starting quarterback in preseason. I'm okay with Mike McCarthy doing something different and thinking perhaps outside the box a bit. But I would think just because you are talking about a Jared Cook, you know, being out there and working again with Eddie Lacy and working again with an offensive line that, you know, had Rodgers get hit obviously way too many times last season, you'd hate to have it be a risk-reward type of conversation. I'm sure that's what Mike McCarthy's going through in his head is, what's the reward of Rodgers playing versus the risk? But, you know, I think a series or two, Bill, a completed pass or two would be something good for everybody to see, I think, including Aaron Rodgers, just to see that, especially because, again, you can look at Rodgers' numbers and you can say, hey, there are a lot of quarterbacks last year who would trade their season for his, but by his MVP, two-time MVP standards and a team looking for a Super Bowl to, you know, and hasn't even been back to that game in the past 5 years, you got to give him a little bit of time, I think. I mean, that would be my philosophy, but I would think a drive or two. But I wouldn't let him sit a whole nother game, a whole other week here.
I don't think I would either. A couple of drives, a few passes, get a little bit, I'm not going to say a rhythm because you know he's got a rhythm, but
no.
just a feel for something else coming at him rather than his own guys. And then that's it. Now, Mike McCarthy, I just wanted to get your opinion on this because Mike McCarthy basically did a I'm done yesterday when somebody asked him about Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I
understand that he doesn't want to continually just talk about it, okay? But in looking at a team that was seemingly derailed offensively by the loss of one guy, it is a very legitimate question. And he's going to get asked about it every day unless he says, we're targeting Jordy for X. If he says, our plan is this, then we'll get Jordy back on the field hopefully in a week or two. Don't ask me about it until then. Then you say, okay, a week or two goes by. Then you say, okay, how's Jordy doing? Are you still on target? You get that. But if he doesn't want to answer the question's still going to loom. Your guy that went down, that seemingly derailed your entire offense, is not on the field. The legitimate question is this the day? Is today the day? Is this week the week? I don't think he can just say, well, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I think it's arrogant.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if I was reading between those lines, it was that he might not know that this might literally be, you know, a day-to-day touch-and-go situation. And I don't, you know, we're like, let's, you know, of course he's communicating with the medical staff on a daily basis, getting feedback on how everybody's doing. Bill, maybe this is a situation, just maybe, you know, if you're trying to read between the lines of how that went down, that nobody knows. That they're slowly trying to do something, and of course we all know now about the hiccup that happened and the other knee, and of course not to mention the ACL surgery by itself now being almost a year removed. So maybe nobody knows, and so therefore if you put a timeline on it, and then Nelson doesn't hit that timeline, then you're stuck answering the question of, well, was there a setback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the natural next question. If he says, well, Nelson will be ready by August 23rd, and he'll play one preseason game. And then it's August 24th, and he's not out there. It's like, well, what's wrong with Jordy Nelson? So maybe it's to protect the player. Maybe it's because they truly don't know the answer. But it is now certainly kind of getting to a point, I think. Bill, I think you told me this last week, Wednesday. You said you weren't worried yet, though, about Nelson. I mean, 5 days later now from when you said that, how close are you to worried?
I'm not worried.
Okay.
I think the question when you hold people to I don't know or – well, you know, it's day-to-day, whatever. I think it's a legitimate question. Oh, that's
yeah,
all
right.
I'm saying. I'm not saying that,
right.
You know, if Mike – sometimes they're their own worst enemy. If they don't want to tell you something, then just say, you know, we're working with the medical staff. We hope to have him back in the next couple of weeks. We're not sure yet. We will let you know. But I don't want to keep answering questions about Jordy Nelson right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I get it. But just to say, oh, I'm not talking about Jordy's health. Well, damn it, you have to. Your whole season last year went right into the crapper because one guy went down seemingly. So you have to talk about it. You can't just say I'm not talking about it. That's crazy. You know what I mean?
I'm with you, and it makes me just kind of think, where is this in the process of Jordy Nelson? Is this Mike McCarthy not even necessarily being frustrated with the question itself or being frustrated by the media as a whole, but perhaps just the Jordy Nelson situation? I mean, maybe Mike McCarthy, maybe, I'm just speculating and reading, trying to read between lines and all the frustration about it, but maybe it's just like he thought Nelson would have been back by now, and he's so sick of thinking about it and worrying about it, maybe, right? I mean, maybe that's what's happening, and it's kind of coming out now, you know, through a press conference. Now we're actually hearing
right.
that frustration. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I agree with you. I don't think it's time to worry yet about Nelson, but getting closer. I mean, you know, now that you're what, 27 days away from the regular season opener in Jacksonville, and the guy who, like you said, had a huge part in obviously derailing the season last year offensively is still not back. It's getting closer and closer to perhaps being able to use that word worry in the next week or so.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again later this week, okay?
We just got through the whole thing without talking about Jeff Janis. How about that?
You know what? Jeff Janis, broken hand, nothing to talk about. We know he's probably out at least a week, and if not more. Do you think it would surprise you if they ended up pup listing for the first six games of the season?
You hear about it being a 4 to 6 week injury recovery, and you're 4 weeks away from even having the regular season begin. I don't know. I think you could carry Janis on your 53 anyway. That way you don't have to designate him as your guy to return at some point. I'm curious to see how it progresses, but certainly it's this cult hero, this guy that built almost every segment, you and I find a way to talk somehow about Jeff Janis, and now he has his broken hand. And meanwhile, Aberderis looks good, and it's certainly an interesting storyline to continue following on Jeff Janis. That is for sure.
Always good, Paul. Chat Wednesday, okay? All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.